present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
I Was a Stupid Cupid. Ozzy, are you in the shed there? Ozzy, come out, I can hear you. Ozzy, where art thou?
What do you want, Clitheroe?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Higginbottom. I thought you were your Ozzy.
Well, I'm not our Ozzy.
I bet you're glad.
What was that?
Glad that you're his dad. Lads like Ozzy don't grow on trees.
No.
No, they live in them.
What did you say?
Oh, I was just thinking when I was looking at you. You could live up in the trees because you're big and tough like Tarzan. Now, could I speak to your cheetah? your Ozzy, I mean.
What do you want him for?
It's about the Black Hand Gang meeting in your shed tonight. I want to know what time I have to come round.
If I catch you in this shed again, you won't come round till you've had a dose of smelling salts.
Oh, very funny. I'll tell that one to your Ozzy when I come round for the meeting.
Look, you're not having your meetings in my shed. I'm just clearing it out before the wife's mother comes.
But she can't live in this shed. She'll get woodworm.
It's for storing some old furniture of hers.
But it's the Black Hand Gang headquarters. Your Ozzy fixed it when we made him captain.
I know, but you've been coming here every week for the past 3 months. And our Ozzy's only lasted a week as captain before you slung him out.
Well, he was useless. When we sent him to fight the captain of the Broad Street Gang, he ran for his life, the coward.
Now, don't you go calling my lad a coward just because he wouldn't take on some roughneck from Broad Street.
Roughneck? The Broad Street Gang's all girls. I think he was scared she'd attack him with a knitting needle.
Look here, you're captain of the gang now, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, you can just have the meetings at your house in future. That's if old Sinclair Scrooge doesn't charge you too much rent.
All right, then. You can tell your Ozzy the meeting's at our house tonight. And here's the password. I'll write it on this bit of paper. Can you read my writing?
Here, let's have a look. What's this?
It's the password in Indian. Read it out.
What does it say? Tanai tum tu.
No, you can't. You're too old. No.
Now, look, Jimmy, for the last time, you're not having your gang meetings in my garden shed.
Well, could we have our headquarters in my bedroom?
In your bedroom?
I know there's not much room in there, but there would be if I moved my bed into your room.
Oh, no, you don't. I've shared a bedroom with you before, and I don't intend to go through all that again.
You're not taking your pals upstairs, playing your rough games.
But, Mum, playing with the gang's a lot of fun. You know what that man said on the telly? If you don't get your fun while you're young, you grow up frustipated.
Look, stop talking like Harry Whittle and listen. We don't want to stop you playing with your pals, but not in the house. There's no room.
Wait a minute, what about the lovebird's nest?
The what?
Our front room, where our Susan and Alfie live in the winter. Couldn't we use that? Just for tonight, anyway.
Oh, I don't know. Susan and Alfie are already in there.
I thought they were. The light's out. Mum, can I ask them if they're going out tonight?
Oh, all right then, Jimmy. But just for a change, will you try not to start any trouble with them, please?
Ah, here we are. The front room door. Now, I'll just do my safety drill. Look right, left, then right again. Make sure that nobody's coming. And listen at the keyhole.
Ah, oh, Susan, this is nice. You're just you and me sitting here gazing in the... Hey, look, Susan, there's a man in the fire.
You what, Alfie?
Look, Susan, look at that big piece of coal that's half burned. It's a man's face. He's winking at us.
I'm not surprised. The way you two carry on in there.
Yeah, hey, look, every time the flame flickers, he winks. And look, Susan, now he's smoking a pipe.
Oh, yes, I can see a face now. Oh, look at him. He's got a funny little nose and big ears. He looks just like our Jimmy.
Hey?
Yes, he does, doesn't he? Yeah, although I'd say he's a bit better looking than your Jimmy.
I'll clout him with the fender in a minute.
No, I feel really happy in here with you, Susan. Yeah, how about giving me a little kiss while the light's out?
Well, it's better than putting a sack over his head. Excuse me, can I come in?
Oh, is that you, Nosy Parker?
Oh, who's the owner of that beautiful voice? I must switch the light on and find out.
Hello, Jimmy.
Alfie, I've come to bring you some good news. If you take our Susan down to the Rialto, it's a smashing picture, the back row's nearly empty, and the flavour of the month's raspberry.
What do you keep going on about the back row for? If you're thinking what I think you're thinking, we go to the pictures for something else beside that.
I know. It's the chalk ice. Only you shouldn't eat it and then keep kissing our Susan on the cheek. The last time you brought her home, she looked like one of the black and white minstrels.
Look, it's obvious you're trying to get us to go out for some reason, but we're staying right here.
But you're not getting any fresh air stuck in this stuffy room. Why don't you go for a walk in the park?
It's dark. The park will be closed.
All right, I'll give you a leg up over the railings.
Look, we're not going out. We're staying here.
Oh, heck. Look, if you both insist on staying in here, would you like to join the Black Hand Gang?
I'm not listening to any more of this nonsense, Alfie. I'm going upstairs to change into my jeans.
You mean you're not going out, then?
No.
All right, go and change into your jeans, and I hope they chalk you.
Look, just because you're in a temper about something, there's no need to take it out of your Susan.
Well, it's all her fault, stopping me having me fun. She ought to get married. That's if she could find a mug daft enough to... Alfie! Why don't you marry her?
Well, me? Marry your Susan?
Why not? She likes you, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, she does. Yeah, only last night, coming home from the chip shop, she said she had a soft spot for me.
Yes, it's in her head.
What was that?
Alfie, look, do you want to marry our Susan or not?
Oh, yes, Jimmy. Yeah, I'd marry her any time.
Good. How about tomorrow night, then?
Oh, give over. I can't marry your Susan tomorrow night.
Why not? There's nothing worth watching on the telly.
No, don't talk daft. Your Susan doesn't want to get married just yet. I mean, she's still only young, so she ought to enjoy herself and have all the fun she can get, because it'll be different after she marries me.
You mean it won't be funny?
Yeah. No. No, after she's married, she'll want to settle down.
Well, why wait? What our Susan wants is a husband and a nice home. You could have a cottage in the country and keep pigs.
Oh, don't talk silly. Yeah, I don't want that.
Oh, of course you're right, with her cooking. You'd never be sure which was your dinner and which was the pig's.
Look, you can't fool me. You want Susan out of the house so you can use her room for your gang, and you can forget all about her living in a cottage with some pigs. She's quite happy here with you and your granddad.
You're not going to ask her, then?
No, I'm not. And I'm not taking her out tonight, either.
All right, then. I'll just have to get on the phone and cancel the meeting. But it'll serve you right if our Susan marries somebody else.
Give over. There's nobody else she's interested in.
Oh, no. There's a man she travels with every morning when she goes to work on the bus. She sees him every day.
You what? Well, she's never told me about him. Does she talk to him?
Oh, yes. When she sees him on the bus, her face breaks into a smile. She looks up at him and she says...
Well, go on. What does she say?
One single to town hall, please.
Jimmy Clitheroe, will you stop messing about and tell your Susan I'm here?
But I've told you, Alfie, she's not in.
She must be, because when I left her last night, she said to pick her up at the office at 6 o'clock tonight, and I know that's what it is now, because my watch was wrong and Susan said I was a bit fast. My watch, not me. And I checked it with Big Ben and it again 20 minutes, so I'm here.
At the wrong place.
That's right. What do you mean, the wrong place?
Alfie, search back through that jigsaw puzzle that you call a brain and think what you just said.
I said when I left Susan last night, she told me to pick her up at the office at 6 o'clock tonight, so here I am.
In our front room.
In your front... Jimmy, I'm here.
Your body's here. Goodness knows where your mind is.
Well, it should be at your Susan's office. I mean, I should. Oh, I've got it all mixed up again. Jimmy, when I get there, she'll murder me.
I'll come with you. She might need some help.
It's not funny. I bet she'll guess I've come here. Jimmy, I'm off. If Susan phones, you know where I'm going, don't you?
Yes, right round the bend.
Yep. Well, you tell her that. And look, I'm going to her office. Oh, I'm a right fool, I am.
He's always forgetting things, that lad. I'll bet he'd forget his name if it wasn't written inside his cap.
Where have we gone, Jimmy?
Yes, Grandad. You can see him through the window. He's dashing through the garden gate and straight for his motorbike. He's gone right past it, the twit. Oh, now he's come back to his bike. He's on. He's off. He's picked the bike up and he's on again. And there he goes, tearing off to our Susan's office in the wrong blinking direction.
Oh, here you are, you two. Tea's ready. Hey, what are you looking at?
It's Alfie, ma'am. He's just gone to pick up our Susan at the office.
But if he's picking her up at the office, why did he call here?
Ma'am, if I could answer that, I'd be on the brains trust.
Hey, Jim, look at that sports car coming down the street. Isn't it a beauty?
Let me see. Woo, what a smasher, Grandad. I'll bet you couldn't get that with cigarette coupons. Hey, it stopped outside our house.
I wonder who it is.
Can't be our rich relations, we haven't any.
Pat, look who's getting out of the car. Our Susan.
So it is. And there's a bloke in the car. Hey, he's kissing her hand. He must be a froggy.
We're in here, love.
Oh, hello, Mother. Has Alfie been around here?
Yes, he's gone looking for you, love.
Oh, trust him to get the arrangements wrong again. I'd have been sitting in the office yet if Mr. Nightingale hadn't offered to run me home.
Oh, so his name's Nightingale, is it? I wondered why I was pecking your hand.
That'll do, Jimmy. Susan, I thought your boss, Mr. Nightingale, was a much older man.
Oh, this is his son, John. He's come up from head office in London to work here. Today's his first day.
Susan, when he lived in London, was he a street singer?
Who, young Mr. Nightingale?
Yes, I thought he might be the one who sang in Berkeley Square.
Very funny. Mother, I'm going to get washed for tea.
Right, love. She doesn't seem very pleased about Alfie, does she, Father?
You're right, Pat. But come to think of it, I don't think Alfie'd be very pleased if he knew Susan had a lift home with that young Mr. Nightingale.
Why not, Grandad?
Well, you know how jealous he gets.
Oh, yes, you're right. When Bert Potter from the post office gave her a lift, Alfie went mad and accused them of snogging all the way home.
But I didn't know that Bert Potter had a car.
He hasn't. He gave Susan a lift home on his crossbar.
Come in, Alfie, and sit down.
Hello, Alfie.
Yeah, hello. Where's Susan, Mrs. Clitheroe?
She's not home from work yet. I think she's doing a bit of overtime.
All right, we're blooming John, I suppose.
Mr. Nightingale, you mean?
Ma'am, I think Alfie would like a cup of tea.
All right, I was just going to make one. Two lumps, isn't it, Alfie?
Yes, please, and a drop of arsenic.
What was that?
A drop of milk, he wants.
I know that. Won't be a minute, Alfie.
Alfie, don't let on to me, ma'am, that I've told you about John Nightingale and our Susan getting engaged, will you?
You didn't tell me they were engaged.
I've just thought of it. I thought of telling you. It's not definite yet, but if you don't propose tonight, you've had it. Before the month's out, her birdman will be whistling, "Here Comes the Bride."
What can I do? I haven't been able to speak to her for 2 days. Only pass messages through you. Oh, I've never heard such a daft idea.
I think it's pretty good. It's good not to see each other in case you have a row. Anyway, you can see her tonight and propose. Have you got some chocolates?
Yes, in my pocket here. Hey, what about the boxes I brought last night and the night before?
Oh, they were very nice. They looked very nice.
Ah, here you are, Alfie. There's your tea. And a cup for you, Jim.
Thank you, Mrs. Clitheroe.
And now, if you'll excuse me, Alfie, I must pop down to the corner shop before they close. Give Alfie another cup if he wants one, Jimmy.
Righto, ma'am.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mrs. Clitheroe, but it isn't tea I'll be drinking if Susan doesn't change her mind. Again, I mean, she's changed it once for that blinking whistler, Birdman, Jackdaw, Nightingale. But she'll have to change it back again, or I'll go straight down to the Rose and Crown and I'll have a shandy. Three shandies.
Alfie, what are you talking about?
Susan's clothes, ma'am. What? Doesn't think she changes them often enough.
Ah, that's right. No, I don't.
Look, she'll be home in a minute and then you can talk to her yourself. The shop will be closed soon, ma'am.
Yes, yes, I must fly. Don't worry, Alfie. Whatever your tiff is about, you and Susan will soon make it up, I'm sure. Give us some chocolates, like you've given Jimmy the last couple of nights.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Clitheroe, it's a good job I brought... What chocolates I gave you?
She means our Susan. She just happened to see me testing them.
Did you eat them?
Well, I did try one or two.
Well, how many did Susan have?
I couldn't say exactly.
Half of them?
No, not half.
A quarter?
Not a quarter, exactly.
Yeah, how many?
She's given them up for Lent.
She said she was giving up sugar in her tea.
Yes, well, we've run out of sugar, so she had to give up chocolates.
Don't be funny.
Never mind that now. She'll be in soon, so start practising your proposal. I wouldn't go down on your knee in those pants, though. They're too tight. Instead of popping the question, you'll be popping your shirt tail out.
Look, I don't believe you're Susan and that fella getting engaged.
Well, what about him taking her in his car, kissing her hand? What do you think that's for?
I'll ask him.
Yes, and when you do... You can't do that. He'll kill me. He'll kill you. He's 7 feet tall and broad with it. He makes Fred Emney look like Ted Loon.
I don't care. I'm not frightened. The bigger they are, the harder I fall. I'll tell Mr. John Nightingale to keep off my worm, bird, girl. Let him flap his wings in his own black garden or I'll clip them for him.
I wish you hadn't told me about Alfred. I have no desire to be involved.
I told you because I might need some advice.
If Alfred finds Mr. Nightingale, my advice to you is emigrate.
Alfie'll never find old Bird Brain's nest. He gets lost sometimes walking upstairs to bed. Anyway, before Susan gets back from the kitchen, if Alfie comes in and says I told him about Nightingale, shall I pretend he's gone crackers or just face up to Susan and say Alfie's lying?
You'll not do either. Remember the old saying, tell the truth and shame the devil.
That's a nice way to talk about my sister.
I was not referring to Susan, as you know very well.
Did I hear my name mentioned? I hope it was something nice, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, naturally. What else?
Tell her what you said.
I don't want to compliment her to her face. I wouldn't like to embarrass her.
Well, I'll embarrass her. He said that...
James, don't be so naughty.
All right, Mr. Craythorpe, never mind. Excuse me, I'll see who's at the door.
No, I'll go. It'll be Alfie. I mean, you sit down. Have a rest, Susan.
Oh, what's wrong with you? I haven't seen Alfie for 2 days.
Yes, well, he's got to get used to your face again. I mean, you being so pretty.
Mr. Craythorpe, has Jimmy had a knock on the head?
Not yet. I mean, no.
You is it, troublemaker.
Quiet, Susan's in there.
Alfie, I'm in here. Come in.
Alfie, don't let on, not a word. Susan, it's Alfie. Alfie, everything's fine. I fixed it. You're friends again. Off to the front room and get slopping.
You fixed what?
He's fixed me with old...
Not a word about...
You what?
We don't want to hear... No birds.
What are you doing?
He's trying to stop me telling about seeing Nightingale.
Don't be daft. They don't come out in the daylight, do they, Mr. Craythorpe?
Not really.
And he's an expert. That's it. All shut up while Mr. Craythorpe does his bird impressions. Whistle like a thrush. Go on.
I will not.
All right, then. Susan, Mr. Craythorpe said that
you... James. Oh, very well.
That was a thrush sitting on a nettle. Now we'll have...
Alfie, what's this about Nightingale?
John Nightingale. When Jimmy told me how you and him were courting.
What?
And you were getting engaged, I decided to go and tell him to keep off the grass. I phoned their office and somebody gave me the address, Cardigan Road. I had no paper, so I wrote it on a pound note, got on a bus, asked for a sixpenny, but had no change, so I gave the conductor the note. He gave me a dirty look, and 19 and a tanner in threepenny bits. I got off, asked a copper for Pullover Street. He sent me to Cardigan Road, but I didn't know the number.
So you didn't find him?
No.
Good.
But I found his house.
How?
And I knocked at the door, and a lady answered, and I said, could she help me?
And she said, try a doctor.
Shut up. I said I was looking for John Nightingale to stop him chasing after my girl and wanting to get engaged to her, and could she tell me where he lived?
Did she know where he lived?
She knew all right. She's his wife.
Now, don't be daft, Jim. You can't run away to sea.
I could if you'd give me a lift to Liverpool. Mum and Grandad won't be home for at least an hour.
Jim, when you paint the piper, you have to face the music.
If Mum and Grandad find out what I've done, the music'll be the dead march.
But you told me Susan said she wouldn't diverge you to them.
I know. She was going to tell Nitty Nightingale and let him be the stool pigeon. I thought he'd have been on to them last night.
Maybe she didn't tell him. Perhaps she was just frightening you to cure you of prefabricating.
Yes, maybe you're right. She was just teasing me. Pulling my leg. I'll pull her ponytail off when I see her. I'll bet that's Ozzy. He'll be wanting to come round here for a second tea.
Well, go and have a chin wag with the human ostrich and forget about the other bird, Nightingale. He'll be safely home in his cage by now.
Hello, is that the walking dustbin?
My name is Nightingale.
Oh, heck. Mr. Whittle, it's him.
Was you calling, Wacker?
Yes, for help. He's the pigeon on the phone. And I don't think I'm going to like his message.
Hello? Hello, are you there?
No, we're hauled out.
I can't hear properly. Can I speak to Mr. Sinclair, please, or Mrs. Clitheroe?
No, she's indisposed. And he's Hinderclink.
Look, I don't know whether you're being funny or you're just stupid, but I'm coming round to see them about a boy called Jimmy.
They won't buy him, they've got one.
Are you Jimmy Clitheroe? You sound cheeky enough.
Hey, I'm the butler. Wait a minute, Mr. Nightingale. My grandad and mum are going out in half an hour, so you can't see them.
Can't I? I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Good. I mean, oh, goodness.
What are you talking about, Jim?
He's coming here in 15 minutes to see mum and grandad, and they won't be back for an hour.
Well, he'll just wait for them.
Oh, no, he won't. He'll come when they're not here, see them while they're out, and be gone when they get back.
You what? You sound like Alfie. His kind of talk must be disinfected.
I'm just ringing him to come over. By the time he's listened to Alfie for 10 minutes, Nightingale will be that dizzy, he won't know whether to fly away or lay an egg.
Yeah, I don't like this, Jim.
Look, if I tell Nightingale who you are, he'll pick your Adam's apple out. Now, you're looking after Mum, who's supposed to be upstairs, right?
Oh, all right.
And Mr. Whittle...
I know. I'm your granddad. But I feel a right soft Nelly in this kilt. I'm getting drafts where I've never had them before.
It'll only be for 10 minutes.
Mr. Whittle, when a bloke wears a kilt...
All right, Alfie, now then.
No, I mean... How do you put your hands in your pockets?
That'll be Dicky Bird himself. I'll let him in. Now, don't let me down. And if you act good, I'll get you on the telly. Bill and Ben can't last forever.
Wheel him in, Jim. I'm all ready with me Scotch eccentricity.
Alfie, get in the front room and come in after Tweety Pie meets Grandad Whittle.
All right, but I won't know what to say.
That's never stopped you from talking before. Hello, come in, sir.
Thank you. I presume you're young Jimmy delinquent.
I'm glad you like a joke. Come in and meet one. Meet me grandad, I mean.
Ah, come in, the new.
This is the gentleman, Grandad.
How do you do, sir? I have a serious complaint to see you about.
Well, I'm his Grandad, not the doctor. Anyway, I'm tickled pumped to see you, Jock. On this broad, bracket, moon-licked, racket, whacker.
I'm afraid I don't understand you, sir.
Grandad has a rare Scottish accent. He comes from the Highlands.
Oh, where did you live in Scotland?
Scotland Road.
Look, I haven't come here to listen to stupid jokes. I want you to punish this young scallywag.
Now, keep your vest on. I don't like being referred to as stupid, or my grandson being called a scallion. So just tranquilise yourself, or I might have to feed you a mouthful of knuckles.
Don't frighten me, sir.
Watch it, Mr. Blackbird Nightingale. And me grandad will do the Highland fling on your nut.
No wonder the boy behaves as he does with a grandfather who's a buffoon.
I'm a what?
A buffoon.
He means you're a monkey.
And who are you, sir?
He's the doctor, looking after me mum. Tell us, how is she, doctor?
Oh.
Me mother, you doctor.
Oh, I don't know. She's not here. She's not with us. We're all there. I mean, she's not well.
I can't understand it. She's only had her usual 2 bottles of gin.
2 bottles? Does your mother drink every day, then?
Of course she drinks every day. She's me mother, not a camel.
Can't you do anything about it, doctor?
Doctor!
You owe me ankles. Do anything about what?
To stop his mother drinking bottles of gin.
Well, I could give her a glass. Oh, I see. It's not the gin, yes. I'll put her on whiskey. Yeah, I mean milk. Milk and fruit. A glass of fruit and a bowl of whiskey. Milk.
Are you sure you're a doctor?
No. Yes, I am. Of course.
Well, he's really a vet, but he's cheap.
Oh. I've had enough. I can see I'm wasting my time.
Are you going, Och Eyeball? Won't you have a sup of whiskey? The old Doc and Dorothy?
I'm going.
Well, give me a cup, Pat. I'll hang it up for you.
Thanks, Father. Oh, I'm tired.
Oh, heck. Quick, Mr. Nightingale, hop out of the window. I mean, go out the back.
I will go out the way I came in.
Well, I'll hop out of the window.
Oh, I'm dying for a cup of tea. Hello, everyone. Jimmy, introduce me.
I'm sorry I'm going. I've met enough people for one day.
And just what do you mean by that, sir?
Well, goodbye, sir. I'll walk down the road with you, as far as London.
Who are you?
Yes, and what are you doing here?
I'm John Nightingale, and I've just met this boy's lout of a grandfather there.
What?
I wanted to see his mother, but she's too drunk to speak to me.
How dare you talk about me like that?
You? I said his mother.
I am his mother.
Yes, and I'm his lout of a grandfather.
Well, who are these people?
I'm Harry.
Yeah, I'm Alfie.
And I'm not very well at all.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Leonard Williams as both Theodore Craythorpe and Harry Whittle, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan. Also appearing were Tony Melody and Brian Truman. The recorded programme, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
What a night! I've never seen Grandad so cross. His face was that red when he opened his mouth and nearly posted a letter. Still, I was cunning. I apologised to Mam, Grandad, Mr. Nightingale, Alfie. I even apologised to Susan. Then Grandad apologised to me. He took me on his knee and said, "I'm sorry, son, but this is going to hurt you." And it did. Ta-ra!